This is an interview with Mrs. Faith Terrazas on April 1st, 2003 in El Paso, Texas. The interviewer is Fernanda Carrillo. This interview is part of the Bracero Oral History Project. Good afternoon.
Hello.
When and where were you born now?
I was born here in El Paso on August 6, 1930.
And did you grow up here in El Paso?
Yes.
Where did you go to school now?
I went to school at Lamar and Bell Elementary and Bowie High School.
And what about your parents? Are they from El Paso as well?
My mother and father are from Mexico. They migrated when my mother was one and my dad was 8 years old.
And what did they do for a living there?
My mother was a housewife all her life, and my dad was a delivery man for a milk company for Price's Dairy.
Okay. Perfect. And do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have three brothers and two sisters.
Okay. And do any of your brothers or sisters work at the Rio Vista as well?
My sister, one of my sisters worked for one season.
Okay. And how did you knew about this job? How did you?
I think that I can't quite remember, but I think it was an advertisement, and I didn't want to work full time at the time, so.
Okay.
So I responded to the ad and they hired me.
Okay, so it was a part-time job then?
Yes, it was seasonal.
Seasonal, perfect. And how old were you when you first started working?
I was in my early 20s.
Were you married at that time?
Yes.
Then? Did you have any children?
I had one daughter.
That's what you wanted only to
yes.
work part-time? Perfect. Would you please describe your role in the Bracero program?
I was one of, I think it was about 12 clerk typists that would type the contracts to the different farms that we sent the people to.
What years did you work there?
I worked in 54, 55, 56, and I believe 57.
And you said again it was a seasonal.
It was.
What months of the year do you?
I can't remember. It was usually in the spring sometime.
And what was your job assignment at the Rio Vista Center?
It was typing contracts for the braceros.
And you say there were two other people working doing the same thing?
No, there was 12. There was 12 of us clerk typists.
Okay.
We were elevated in on a podium with 12 typewriters, and the braceros would line up at each typist's typewriter, and we typed from 8 to 5.
From 8 to 5?
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of men passing by.
So there was people going?
Oh, all the time.
All the time?
All the time. We always had a line in front of our typewriters, and those that stayed outside waiting to get in.
So it was one after the other?
One after the other.
How many people, an average number, would you say you filled the contracts for in any given?
I can't remember. There was, we did at least 1,000 with all of us.
And how long usually did it take to, you know, to fill
to
the
type one contract?
One contract.
About 5 minutes.
About 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. To type the contract was one of the steps, as I understand, from
yeah.
a different process. Will you
yes,
please
first
that process.
That was all I had to do with the braceros. When they first came, they would go into medical, I believe, and they would have a chest X-ray, and they would get checked by the doctors, by the medical personnel.
Okay.
Then I think they went on to get their photos done. They would take their pictures, and then they would come to us for assignment to different farms in different parts of the country. Usually they stayed around here for cotton picking mm-hmm. farms, but we did send them to the Midwest to pick beets and other things.
Did they have a chance to ask where did they want to go?
No.
No, you were the one that assigned them and they had to go.
No, we did. I did not assign them. The clerk typist just typed the contracts, which mm-hmm. were already pre-made. All we did was fill in the names of where they were from, the ages, and their next of kin and their family, what their family consisted of. And what happened was, say a farm wanted 50 workers. And of those workers, there was a man, his name was Mr. Galindo, mm-hmm. and he would count off 50 people.
Okay, you know, randomly.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm. And randomly, whoever was there first.
Okay.
And then he would count off 50 people, they would go to the clerk typist, and we would send them to this particular farm. In the future, I hope that that is not the way they assign them to work, because families would be separated. Oh. Like a father would come with his three or four sons and a couple of cousins, and if they counted off 50 or 100, that they would divide with the family, and one went one way and one went the other. There were some that said, oh, my sons are back there, I don't know what. So we would try to get Mr. Galindo to either add another person who was there alone,
yes.
or leave him behind, not to separate
not
the families.
Separate.
But think of how many people didn't say anything. They just passed and took it for
yes.
what they were.
Exactly. Were you, the employees of the Rio Vista Center, required to speak Spanish, ma'am?
Yes.
Was it a requirement?
Yes.
So you fill out all the forms and you speak to the braceros in Spanish?
The forms were in English.
The forms were in English?
I remember doing it in English, and I remember explaining it to them.
Okay.
And I believe the forms also had the insurance like how much money they would get if they lost an arm or a leg, or
oh, so they
the sight in one eye, or their life, or
there was yeah. any insurance agency at the Rio Vista Center?
Not, I don't know. There might have been,
uh-huh.
but all I really know is about the building where the clerk typists were.
So it was kind of included in the contract. Like, mm-hmm. you know, a paragraph explaining.
Yes.
Okay. And the contract specified their salary, ma'am?
No.
Well, how much? No.
No, that was up to the people that hired them from
okay.
the farm.
So there was no, like, a minimum wage or something?
Or the, not that I know, or the living arrangements, how they would live, where they would live, what they would be fed, that was once they got to the farm.
So you were explaining me about the screening process. First, they have to go to medical, test an X-ray, and then photos, pictures. During the day, how long would you say the screening process?
We did this all. I assume all the medical profession and the photography and the people that. That's another thing. They would get sprayed with some type of disinfectant.
Oh, the braceros?
Yeah.
Okay.
They would get off the bus, wherever they came from, to the farm, mm-hmm. to the Rio Vista farm for screening. I assume that was the last thing that they had to do in the way of paperwork before going to their farm.
Yes.
And they would get sprayed with this white powder, whatever it was, some type of disinfectant. And that was not a good thing, you know, because they would have their that white powder in their ears, their face, their hair, their clothes.
Oh, so it was all over them.
I mean, sprayed.
Oh, even their belongings were
yeah.
sprayed.
Usually they just had the clothes that they came in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Usually they don't have it.
They had, like, they were from the interior of Mexico. You know, I don't think they were from any big cities or any people that had too much of an education. They were dressed in cotton, big baggy pants and huaraches and straw hats and the baggy cotton shirts that they would wear.
What was like the average age of the braceros back then?
They were young. They were in the 20s, 30s. And of course, we had some of the fathers come. Well, they must have been in their 40s or 50s, I would assume.
So there wasn't really like an age limitation for the
If rest. There was, I'm not aware.
Okay. Yeah, so there was people from different ages,
yes,
but mostly young people.
Yeah. A lot of them were married. A lot of the braceros that came over were married. They had left their wives and children.
Were they aware of what was going to come? Like, did they have any idea what were they going to do?
Well, those that had been there before knew. And those that had been there before did not like to go to Pecos for some reason.
Or to Pecos. They didn't like it.
No.
Did they ever mention?
They mentioned that they weren't as well treated as they were in other farms.
Like there was discrimination?
No, it was not any type of discrimination. It was the way they lived, the barracks where they were assigned or where they slept or whatever. Not that they were mistreated physically in any way,
okay. But
they didn't like the conditions under which they worked there. But the ones that were there for the first time had no idea where they were going. Well, none of them had any idea
of what was going on.
Yeah.
Were they mostly obedient?
Oh, yes.
Willing to.
They were. They listened to the people that, you know, form a line or form two lines or whatever they did. They stood a lot. They waited a lot in line for us to get through with the contracts because there were so many of them. And then if in between sending them from one farm to another there was a break or we would go to lunch, they waited. They were very respectful people.
You have, I imagine, a time to go have your lunch.
Yes.
Is that correct? There were any facilities in the Rio Vista Center?
No, we went out. Usually we went out to somewhere in Isleta we would eat.
And what about the braceros men during the screening process? Were they fed?
I don't really know.
Okay.
No. They must have been fed, but I don't know where or how.
So they mostly stay in lines for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time you were filling out the contract, did you require any kind of proof, like identity?
No,
like
that had been done before.
Before, at the time you filled
we
out the
knew contract. That these people were the ones that were going to the farms, except for if there was a delay in getting the results of a chest x-ray, and the men were already in the contract section where I worked, and there was something wrong with an x-ray, maybe an old lung lesion or tuberculosis or something, then they would come to the place where they were, which was us in the contracting section, and pull them out. They couldn't go to the farms. I guess they went back.
Okay, perfect. So if something went bad during the medical examination,
They went.
What role did the Mexican government have in this screening process?
Do you
remember any?
No.
Government?
No, I don't remember. I don't remember any inspectors, or if there were, they didn't come to the place where
to the place were. You work.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you live while you were working at the Rio Vista?
Where did I live? I lived in Parkdale by Escarate Park.
It was your own?
Yes.
Would you please describe your typical work day?
We would get there around a little before 8, and we would have the contracts ready by our typewriters.
Uh-huh.
And we would essentially, what we did was we just typed all day long.
All day long?
All day long. There was never an interval where we had anything, didn't have anything to do, or we talked to each other, mm-hmm. but typing.
Okay, the whole time you
were...
We
typed and we talked to each other. We turned to whoever was to the right or to the left. And those that smoked there, at their typewriters. We sometimes drank a Coke or water or whatever. But there was no time there. It was a lot of work. There were a lot of braceros.
Besides the filling out the contracts, you didn't have any other tasks like filing or
no.
that kind of stuff?
It was clear typing.
Do you remember how much did they pay you for?
I don't remember, but I think at that time it was what a GS2 earned.
What is a GS?
Government service.
Government service.
Government.
And do you remember they pay you with checks?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Would you please?
We did things like assemble papers and stuff like that for the contracts, and when we weren't typing, when they would give us a break from the typing. But mostly that was what we did.
And what happened? You said mostly you worked from 8 to 5. Mm-hmm. What happened, like, if at 5 there were still people in the line?
We would stop there. We would work until 5.
Okay. And what about the people that didn't fill out their contracts that day? What will happen?
They would get routed the next day.
Okay. They will stay at the Rio Vista Center.
Oh, yes. They must have had a place to eat and sleep there.
Would you please describe the buildings that formed the Rio Vista?
There was several buildings, and they were all big buildings. Ours was a very long building that had, on the side of the building, they had a chain link fence around a portion of the outside, and that's where the men stood. The ones that didn't get in, because as I say, all of the clerk typists had rows of men in front of their typists. We would pass them, would give them the contract, do the papers, work, and then they would pass somewhere else.
Okay.
I assume to leave whenever they would leave. And the others in this place that there was the chain link fence were so many that they would stand in line, but in a snake-like line like this, and this, because there were so many.
Okay.
So they would be, and they would sit, they would sit on the ground and take breaks there. And they did get water there when they were waiting, because it was, it's hot here,
It was, and mm-hmm. usually you said it was seasonal, your work, it was seasonal. Then it must be around summertime.
Yeah, in the springtime is whenever they pick the cotton, when mm-hmm. I tell you that I remember from the clothes we wore, and they were usually summer clothes, spring clothes. I don't ever remember wearing a coat or
a sweater.
Anything like that.
And it was hot at the
It was building. Not in the building, but uh-huh. It was hot outside.
Yeah, we have that kind of weather in El Paso.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember ever being uncomfortable typing.
Oh, okay. It was. Okay. And did potential employers come personally to the reception centers to obtain workers? Like you said, a rancher or something, he came and he said, well, I need, certain number of...
That was already predetermined, and Mr. Galindo was the one that knew.
Okay.
How many workers were going to be sent to a special farm. There was plenty of people that hired them.
Okay, there were many contractors.
Yes, there was.
And before, you said you fill out the contracts, but before, the contractor must have contact someone else in order to specify the number.
Well, I don't think the men had anything to do with where they went. It was the people that worked there, the staff who were assigned to negotiate between the contractors and us.
Okay.
But on the way back, when we went back to send them back, we were hired again to finish the contract, and they were sent there for months, say 3 months, depending on how many months they were to be hired. Then they would go back to Mexico. Mm-hmm. On the way back, it was very different because they all were wearing Levi's and boots and Western shirts and carrying baby strollers and they would take back to their families.
So they seem quite and different.
They seem different, and they were then they talked differently. You know, they weren't as meek.
Oh,
you know, like some would call us su señoría and stuff like that.
Oh, they were.
So yeah, but when they came back, they could relate more on a higher level, you know.
Oh.
So that was very neat to see them go back to their country.
And do you there at the contract, there were many braceros going back to the United States again? I mean, not their first time?
Not as many, because now they would go back if a farm wanted them for 3 months. Well, they would go. Those were the however many we sent to that farm,
yes.
And the others either were working or had already passed. So there wasn't a congestion of so many people when they finished their contract.
And was the bracero required to go through the processing center again in order to go back to Mexico? I mean, to go back
yes.
to Revisa? Okay.
Yeah, because we had the open contracts where they had been sent.
Did they get any proof that they work at the United States, like any kind of documents? Or
I don't know. No, that's
they were.
Yeah. I assume they did, because it was a country to country. I mean, we knew how many we had sent and how many came back.
What would you say, in general, the personality of the braceros would be, standing in line, talking with each other? Did mm-hmm. did they ever try to, to talk to you?
Yes, they did, but they were very respectful in the beginning. Mm-hmm. When they first arrived, they really didn't know. We spoke English, and they didn't understand. So they were a little intimidated, I would say, by the whole thing, by the whole process. I don't think they were mistreated, though there were some things that, if there ever is a guest worker program, that they could better from what we used to do there.
What would you say those things?
The severing of the family ties to send them to different farms. Spraying them with this disinfectant, whatever it was. I think they were unaware that they were going to be sprayed.
Okay, they were. Yeah. Okay.
Because some of it was on their faces, just like they could cover their eyes and it was all over their nose, their ears.
So they didn't even know what was going on?
I just don't think so. I never saw them getting sprayed, but by the time they came to us, they were already sprayed.
Oh, okay.
Whatever it was. Maybe you have a staff member that responded that did the spraying, or,
that they were in charge. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It would be nice to talk. Is there any particular incident that you remember from the time you worked there?
No, that was so neat to see them come back on the way back. And the way they related, or when they returned to work the next year or another year, they already knew what they were. What it was going to be, and they would tell the others, the first timers that were coming over, and pues ahora venimos por acá y ahorita nos vamos allí, and they would explain.
The others what was going on and different.
Like, okay,
stages.
I know what it's all about now.
Well, at least that means that you were, friendly to each other.
Oh yeah, to each other they were.
Okay. Mostly they would come like in families or groups, or there were people, all by themselves.
There were people all by themselves. There was a lot of friends coming over, a group of friends, and whole families.
Whole families?
I imagine from, because I remember typing the contract, we would say where they were from. And a lot of them would be from the same little town, from the same pueblito, you know.
Yeah.
So they all knew each other.
Okay. And do you remember, like, the most common cities that they mentioned they were from?
No, I remember. I remember one of the girls was shocked when she saw where the man was from, and she said, "Look, Faye, he's from Michigan." And it's more like Michoacán. And she said, "Oh."
She thought he was from Michigan.
Yeah, because it was M-I-C-H.
The abbreviation. So they were mostly from the center of the...
They were from the interior, definitely.
Did any time happen that some of them looked different from each other? Like, you know, coming from different parts of the country, the way they dress was different, or the way they speak was different?
They did. Mostly they wore this type of rural outfits that they wear in the mountains, or in the, you know, that this outfit that I described.
Yes.
They all wore huaraches, like big tire. The soles were very big.
Oh.
And they wore no socks. A few could not write because we had them do the X, but most of them would write.
Okay.
It was funny because they would say, when we would say "firme aquí," after explaining, they would say "confirma," and then, well, we didn't know, it said, "Yeah, confirma," and then they would go like this.
Oh,
oh, no, señor, no lo desbarate. Ah, pues es mi firma. You know, this little curly cue.
Yes.
That they would do.
So they actually had their own signatures.
Yeah.
And at the time you work there at the Rio Vista Center, do you remember any time that they caused any problems, you know, there was any
rioting
incident
or anything like that?
No.
No, everything was normal. It was, everything was usual. Like.
And what about the other girls that work with you as clerk type, mm-hmm. were they usually also young, married?
Most of us, there was a lot that weren't married.
Oh, okay.
But in my day, girls married in their early 20s or late teens.
Okay.
So there was several of us that were already married. And then there was a few, not a few, there was some that were not married.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a couple of older ladies now then in the group.
Okay, so there were.
But we all got along very well together.
So mm-hmm. did you have friends there?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. We didn't keep up, I didn't keep up with any of them because in 1958, my husband was in the Air Force, so we left El Paso, and we were gone 17 years.
Oh.
So I lost contact with everybody.
And from the, those were the clerk types, and you say mostly girls, right? Because you mentioned...
They were all girls.
They were all girls.
Mm-hmm.
And were they any male employees?
There was male employees there. Like I remember the supervisor that was called Mr. Galindo, and a couple of assistants that would help him do...
Mr. Galindo, you mentioned he was in charge of the contracts, right? In deciding what people went to...
I think so, because he was the one that would count off the men, you know, to go to this farm. But all the clerk typists were women.
Okay, but all the employees, how many employees would you say work at the Rio Vista Center?
Oh, I wouldn't know because we all work in different buildings.
Okay.
Medical worked in its own building, so never went there.
Okay, so it wasn't like...
Unless I would go there to run an errand or something, but we really didn't have time. We each were in our own building doing our own thing. There was a lot of employees because we all came in we would all park our cars in the same place and we would all head to work. You could see we were starting to work,
okay.
But we would all head to our different buildings.
Okay, so mm-hmm. Most of the times the employees have their own cars, so they drive to Rio Vista.
Okay. Well, it was far, it was in Clint somewhere, I think. Yeah.
I've been there, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been there in a long time. Well, since?
Really?
Yeah.
No, it's still, they're still using it. Some part of it is still used as a senior, recreation center or something. But I saw the buildings that you described, like the long buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, you know, are closed and that kind of stuff. You can see that.
They're deteriorated and stuff.
Some of them.
Yeah, because in later years, well, in 1997, I worked at, later on I became a nurse.
Okay.
So I worked at a psychiatric outpatient clinic, and when we would service Clint and San Elisario and Fabian's patients, they had a hard time coming to the clinic. So the doctor and I would go to Fabian's, to Rayos de Esperanza. It's a Thomason run medical building.
Oh, okay.
And and we would go see the patients there. But we never did go to. I wouldn't know how to find it anymore.
You don't know how to get to the Rio Vista farm. And at that time that you worked there at the Rio Vista farm, that you have a daughter, you mentioned.
Yes.
Your husband was in the Air Force, you mentioned, so he was. And who took care of your.
My mother.
Oh, your mother. So you never actually took her to the Rio Vista. There were
She was a year old.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And that was almost 50 years ago, so no wonder I don't really remember where the Rio Vista farm was.
And did you drive every day
to
the place?
Yes, I drove every day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you think were the effects of the Bracero program, of having,
Well, I think they helped the country a lot, and they certainly helped the Braceros, and they certainly helped the Mexican economy. I would like to see something, not that I ever saw them being mistreated or anything, but mostly it should be updated.
So do you think it would be a good idea to revive this program to bring...
Yes, the guest worker. I read in the newspaper that they were having, that the Mexican president wanted to have the guest worker program.
Do you think it will work, to have it in this time?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how it was that in Mexico they came. I don't know how it was they got... If there ever was a mechanism in place where they would get chosen from wherever they lived to come to Juarez and then transport
over here.
Or did
they have recruitment centers in different cities in Mexico?
Oh, they did.
They all went to the same place.
Yeah.
And then they will bring them. Actually, one of the recruitment centers was in Chihuahua, and from Chihuahua they took them to the Rio Vista farm.
Oh, from Chihuahua?
Exactly.
And I remember they're coming in buses.
Yes, in buses. That's not meaning they're from Chihuahua exactly, but
no,
that
yes,
was the
That was the point.
Uh-huh.
I remember them telling me, but I don't remember where it was, but it was in Mexico, that when they were standing in line, people would sell them water. They didn't want to leave the line. And,
oh, okay. Well, they were still.
But they were in Mexico, and that was their Mexican counterparts that would.
Oh, okay.
They wouldn't give them the water, they would sell them the water.
They will sell them the water.
Yeah, that has to be a better type of humane treatment, both sides.
Yeah, probably they will implement it. You know, they can
mm-hmm.
have the. And what will you think were the advantages and disadvantages having this program applied?
Well, the advantages, as I say, it helped the people here, the people with the farms. They were very good workers. They stayed here, you know. I did hear about some of them running away from the farms.
Oh, okay. But
I don't know what happened to them, or if they stayed away, or if they just went into other parts of the country. I don't know. But they did help this place. They helped themselves. They helped their families. They helped their towns where they were from, and they helped the Mexican economy, because they would send money to their families while they were working here.
Plus, they say they do bring things for their families.
Oh,
they
yes.
bring, they mm-hmm. carry stuff from, mm-hmm. you know, while they're working.
They would buy a lot of things here to take over there. I don't know how it was when they got there. I guess they let them pass all those things because they took them. A lot of them.
What were, like, you said, like a very common thing they would bring back from the United States to make?
They were clothes, children's clothes, baby things, strollers, high chairs, the folding high chairs, some types of jewelry, I guess, for their wives, because they would show us very proudly what they had.
Oh, they would show you what they got for their wives.
And we would say, oh, how nice it was, you know. And at that time, the strollers did not fold, you know, they were just big strollers.
Oh, okay, so you had to get the whole thing.
So they were holding the strollers, and over here they would take toys.
Toys.
So we assumed it was for their children.
So mostly they bring things for their families. They
took back. They bought wherever it was that they worked.
Yeah.
And then by the time they got back to us, they were already with all these things.
All these things.
And their clothes were different. You know, their. So I guess that their children benefited from their stay here.
And any disadvantages that this program?
Well, in the respect that I say, in the way the families were separated.
Yes.
There might have been more. There might have been different things that we're not aware of. In that spraying that they did, and I don't remember how long it was by the time they got sprayed to the time they got to us, but if they must have that, then they should be provided with a bath, or, you know, a lot of them didn't have a change of clothes.
So that was their only change,
yeah.
And they had to. But in they did have their belongings. They were able to keep them.
Oh yes, they kept their belongings.
Do you ever saw them bringing something from Mexico, like something they didn't want to leave, like a guitar, you know, or like a special thing?
No, I don't. I don't remember seeing people with. I remember seeing harmonicas. They had harmonicas. I think they wanted to travel light coming over. So I never saw a guitar, but I never saw anyone take away anything from them.
Okay, so they were.
Or that they mentioned I had this with me, but I couldn't take it to the farm. Their personal belongings, whatever they, some of them came in, you know, those redes that they call to buy groceries.
Yes.
They had those, and there they had, if they had a change of clothes or a harmonica or whatever they had.
Whatever they had, they bring it.
They would always have it with them. And packages where they had belongings. I don't know if they were inspected, or if they were, it was okay to come to us. I think us, where we were the last.
Like the last step
yeah.
of the whole process.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, actually, the last step would have been to go to the farm, but.
Yeah, but before leaving to the farm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at the time they go with you, even though you were the last step, they still have some signs of the spraying on their clothes.
A lot. Their hair was full of it. Everything was white. It was white. Like I say, it was on their hair, on their clothes, on their belongings, inside their ears. everywhere. And there was no sign that they ever were washed or bathed before they got to us. If they went like this, the white powder would just, you know, you could see like dusty, the white dust.
So most of it remained in their clothes. Mm-hmm. And in there.
The only time I ever saw them pull them out and send them back was when something medically was wrong with them.
Okay, but besides,
like I would say, well, usually it was something to do with a chest X-ray, so it might have been anything contagious, or
okay.
I think that would stop them from coming.
From sending them.
Yeah, from going on and working here. I think that must have been, well, it was a great disappointment, you know, when they had to go back. But from, we would just stop the contract, they would pull them out, and I don't know how they send them back.
How they say, okay.
But we just knew that they were not able to
go.
But that was not too many of them. There was some, but not too many. No. Most of them did go.
Okay. So it was not a regular thing, like a very normal thing. Mm-hmm. It was not.
Most of them weren't aware that there was anything wrong. You know, I don't think in their
places.
Okay,
they didn't even know there was something wrong.
I don't think wherever they lived, they ever had a chest X-ray. You know, but they all looked pretty healthy. You know, like well enough to work because they did backbreaking work.
And you say most of the contracts were like to pick cotton and that kind of stuff that requires hard work. I mean,
it was from here in Texas and all of that. It was cotton, mostly the cotton season. It was. I remember the beets that a lot of them went to pick beets, and I don't remember where it was. Somewhere in the Midwest, and. That's about all I remember. They might have had other farms that had other harvesting to do. But mostly it was cotton.
It was. And you say in the region, right in Texas, mostly right?
Yeah, most of them was in the region.
And after this time that you worked with the Bracero program, later on in your life, did you have contact again with them? You know, by seeing them in
with
farms
any,
or
oh,
by...
Oh, no, I never went anywhere to any of, I never visited any of the farms, and so I never did see them again. And there were so many you would not have recognized, you know.
Yes.
And it was, our time with them was fleeting, you know, just.
There was, it was impossible, mm-hmm. right? And you say 1,000 a day.
Some of them did stand out, you know, that like a father and a son with blue eyes stood out, and we remembered them as long as they were there, but I don't think I would have recognized them if I had seen them somewhere else, especially if their clothes were different.
Is there anything, ma'am, you would like to add?
That's all I can remember. I told the lady that called, you know, I can't... The only thing I can say is from my perspective as a clerk typist, what we did and what we saw, but the different services, the different teams that worked in the Rio Vista farm, we never had too much contact with them, except we knew their faces, and walking to our car, we would say hi or whatever, you know, but it was... we were never in a group to have any meetings. That's another thing that maybe that should be. I like to have a weekly meeting.
Also,
to,
you never had that.
No,
kind of...
and to tell us like what the medical profession found, what we should look for, the types of thing. I can't even remember if we would get immunized for anything. If we didn't, we should have. I would imagine that at least at the end, we would get a TB test and we might have gotten a chest x-ray or something like that, because tuberculosis is airborne.
Yes.
Now I know this from being a nurse, but then I wasn't, so I didn't know. So there has to be a some different way of protecting both the braceros and the workers, the staff workers. I guess the medical personnel knew, but the others didn't.
They never knew. I would like to thank you very much for the opportunity.
You're quite welcome. I hope I was of some help.
A lot. Thank you very much.